Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Giriraj Maharaj ki, Gopremanande. So what did we discuss last night in our class?
You must have humility, otherwise you can't have praying for Krishna.
Oh, anything else? Krishna what?
Krishna is death serving the
nation. Is he done to you? Any other points?
We should focus on our devotional service and be firm in what we are supposed to do in the devotional service and what hope is more than
anything else?
Gopis are like sannyasis. So everybody should become the sannyasi like gopis to have his words, body, and mind. And that's and of course, because he is a bit selfish in that way, he wants only love from you. No, he doesn't want you to love anybody else, just love him.
Good. Anything else?
And we should have a responsibility in the water service. If we don't have responsibility, we should
there is no lust in gopis, it's only pure love for Krishna. And if they can't live without him. If he doesn't accept, they will die in separation.
When they're close to him or when they're with him, they forget the Aishvarya part of Krishna. But when it comes to a point where he's going to force them to separate from him, they remember it to use it to stay with him.
Good.
The humility part, be the very highest stage of gopis. So when initially when Krishna speaks about the Sri Dharma and says that why you are coming here midnight and all, so they feel rejected or dejected, as in are they qualified to be with Krishna or not? Now that humility mode when we develop, probably yes, we should be able to.
Good. Anything else?
The Lord has instructed us about materials.
Yeah.
Gopis have one-minded focusness. Just focus on the doing the Radha Pada. Really determination. I think because of that, the humility part came as well. Then also the return is what they do.
Anything else?
Once you give up everything for Krishna, you should never go back, because then it's like eating vomit.
Don't be a vomit eater. Anything else?
Of course, the gopis were all in anxiety. They didn't know what to do. But then they got a bit of pride and got angry on Krishna. As to why you are talking to us like that, like a stubborn person.
Good. Dhruv, come and sit on that side. Okay. So, tonight we'll continue. We'll finish the chapter. We'll go from verses 36 to 48. So, in the beginning of the chapter, Krishna has called the gopis to come. The gopis have responded. And then Sukadeva Goswami describes that this is not mundane, all of these pastimes. And then from there, now we hear a description of the conversation between Krishna and the gopis. So tonight they'll begin to continue to speak, and Krishna will also respond a little to them. It's very intimate and very high level conversations. Kids, settle down. Okay. So text number 36. O Lotus Eyed One, the goddess of fortune considers it a festive occasion. Whenever she touches the soles of your lotus feet, you are very dear to the residents of the forest, and therefore we will also touch those lotus feet. From that time on, we will be unable even to stand in the presence of any other man, for we will have been fully satisfied by you. So, the Srimad Bhagavatam is an elaboration upon the philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita. Who is the Bhagavad Gita spoken by? Krishna. And now who is standing here with the gopis? Krishna. So it is Krishna who is speaking. So everything which he speaks in the Bhagavad Gita is then shown in his pastimes in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Krishna says in the second chapter of the Gita, Param Drishtva Nivartate. What is Param Drishtva? Higher taste. Yeah, that's our entire philosophy. This is one of the most important considerations or points in our philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. That in order to give up attachment to the material world, you have to get a higher taste. You have to receive something superior. If you don't have something superior, you can't give up the lower taste. It's not possible. So here, the gopis easily give up the association of their so-called husbands. As we were describing last night, in the spiritual world, there are no husbands. In the material world, they manifest so that it looks normal. Otherwise, conditioned souls may become confused. So therefore, there's some manifestation of husbands, but the gopis have no attachment to the husbands. That's the point. They can easily give these things up. And the Bhagavatam is teaching us the same thing. We have to give up attachment to our husband, to our wife, to our children, to everything in this material world. In other words, when we become advanced in Krishna consciousness, you simply see those things in relation to Krishna. As Bhakti Vinod Thakur did. He was a Grihastha Acharya. He had many children and a highly positioned status within the material world. But Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he says in his writings that I just see all of these things in relation to Krishna. My wife is Krishna's servant. My children are Krishna's servants. My house is Krishna's temple. And everything that I have, I simply use in the service of Krishna. So that is Krishna consciousness. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yukta Vairagya Uchite. If it does not have a relationship to Krishna, we reject it. Nirbandha. If it can be used in Krishna's service, Krishna Sambandha, then we'll use that thing. So that is the philosophy. So the gopis, they can easily give up attachment to the material world because they're so attracted to Krishna. And when we also become attracted to Krishna, we'll also give up our attachment to the material world. So how does Krishna manifest to us in this material world?
Guru.
Guru, yeah. Deities, Krishna, Guru, Vaishnavas, Srimad Bhagavatam, the holy name, all these forms. If we develop Panchanga Bhakti, attachment to these five potent forms of devotional service, then you can easily give up attachment to the material world. If you're not attached to these five, then it says that even if you're attached to one of them, that's enough to destroy all of your material attachments and to give you bhava, or love for Krishna. But we have to become attached to chanting, attached to hearing the Bhagavatam, attached to being with the advanced devotees, attached to seeing the deities, attached to the holy Dham. And then when you are, then easily all your material attachments disappear. So you have to replace the material with the spiritual, the inferior with the superior. That's our philosophy. If you just try to give it up by itself, you can't give it up. But if you get a taste in Krishna consciousness, easily you give up all the material things. So any points?
One thing. I can't understand. See, you are saying in spiritual world they have got husband, but they don't. It doesn't manifest. Right? Now, when we were reading about the description of Vaikuntha, they were flying in the plane together.
That's Vaikuntha. This is Vrindavan. So, two different things.
I thought you said the spiritual world.
So you work it out.
I'm sorry.
There's two different places there. It's not all one. It's
not all the same. I must have understood wrong because I thought you said it's spiritual world. So I thought it's spiritual
world. So think about it. Okay. Right, there's different parts of the spiritual world.
Okay.
We should know that already. So, any other points? Goddess Lakshmi, whose glance is sought after by the demigods with great endeavor, has achieved the unique position of always remaining on the chest of her lord, Narayana. Still she desires the dust of his lotus feet, even though she has to share that dust with Tulsi, Devi, and indeed with the Lord's many other servants. Similarly, we have approached the dust of your lotus feet for shelter. So, Akanda, you want to read that?
The gopis here point out that the dust of the Lord's feet is so ecstatic and enlivening that the goddess of fortune wants to abandon her unique position on his chest to share with many other devotees a position at his feet. Thus, the gopis urge Lord Krishna not to be guilty of a double standard. Since the Lord gave the goddess of fortune a place on his chest and also allowed her to seek the dust of his lotus feet, Krishna should certainly give the same opportunity to his most loving devotees, the gopis. After all, the gopis plead, seeking the dust of your lotus feet is purposely justified, and you should encourage us in this endeavor and not try to send us away.
Any points there?
Just trying to tell him that whatever it is you are saying is a bit cruel.
Anything else?
The ultimate goal of primary essence of this devotional service is to take shelter of Krishna, and through which, I mean, we take the shelter of Guru. So therefore, that importance of taking shelter is being emphasized here in this.
Good. Anything else?
What's different to me when I read this is they're being very demanding. They're saying, you have to do this, you should do that. You. So can you explain that a bit further? Because I'm wondering if that's because they're at the end of their rope and they're fighting for their lives kind of thing.
Yeah, that'll come out in this final section, so we'll discuss that. Yeah, it's an important point. So, anything else?
It is like a difference between Vaikuntha and Golok Vrindavan. That in Golok Vrindavan, gopis can tell Krishna what to do and what not to do. In Vaikuntha, we can't say anything to Lord Narayana. Whatever he order, we have to just follow.
Yeah, devotees don't want to say anything to him. Yeah. But in Vrindavan, they do want to say something.
Yeah. Oh, loving exchange.
Yeah, more intimate. Any other points?
Dust of someone's lotus feet is something which they leave behind when you move forward. So gopis are so eager of Krishna's association that they just want to take even the shelter of that dust. So it shows the intensity of their love towards Krishna that they just even the dust of his lotus feet is enough for them.
So the gopis are so exalted. They're even discussing about Lakshmi. Technically, Lakshmi is the goddess of fortune. She is the wife of Lord Narayan. Narayan, in these pastimes, is God. Krishna is not seen as God. They worship Narayan. When something happens in Vrindavan, everyone prays to Narayan. So that is the mood. But they're speaking about Lakshmi. The gopis are speaking in a sense, in a way that they are superior to Lakshmi, because factually speaking, they are superior to Lakshmi. So they're passing judgment on everyone in creation because they're the highest devotees, the topmost devotees. They can say anything about anyone because they are on the highest level. There is no one higher than them, even though they appear simplistic, because their external appearance is cowherd girls. But actually, these cowherd girls are more exalted than Lakshmi herself. Yeah. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to Earth, in his pastimes, he travels through South India, then he meets Vyankata Bhatta, who is the father of Raghunath Bhatta, Goswami, in South India. And he says... What's that?
Gopal
Bhatta. It was Raghunath Bhatta.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. It could be Gopal. Gopal? Yeah, Gopal Bhatta. So, Vyankata Bhatta, he worships Lakshmi Narayan, as is the custom in South India. South India is not so much Radha Krishna worship. It is called Pancha Dravida. Five states, Pancha Dravida. And in the five states in the south, traditionally they worship Lakshmi Narayan. In the Gaudiya, or in other words, the five states in the north, they traditionally worship Radha Krishna. That's the tradition. So when Lord Chaitanya goes south and meets Vyankata Bhatta, then he teases him. And he says, why is it that your Lakshmi, who is the most chaste woman in the universe, why is it she wants to leave the side of her husband to come and dance with my Krishna in Vrindavan? So he plays with it. In other words, Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself, but he is establishing the superiority of the worship of the residents of Vrindavan above all others. So that is his bhava or mood. And that is completely based upon this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the most intimate section. Lord Chaitanya was always absorbed in this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in his consciousness. If you look at his Gambhira Leela, where he's, you know, his room in Jagannath Puri, the Gambhira. So when he's in the Gambhira, Gambhira literally means deep. So when he's in his deepest pastimes, in conversations with his intimate associates, Raman, Daroya, Sarup, Damodahu, Alalita, Vishaka, then they are discussing the pastimes from this very section of the Bhagavatam. And they're speaking the verses from this very section of the Bhagavatam. And writings which support or are based upon this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Lord Chaitanya, sometimes, even in Mayapur, before he left to go to Puri, when he was younger, sometimes, it's written in Chaitanya Bhagavat, sometimes he would just be chanting, Gopi, Gopi, Gopi. He'd be absorbed in meditating the Gopis, Gopi, Gopi, Gopi. So he'd be fully absorbed in the meditation of Krishna feeling separation from the Gopis. And he has experienced the Gopi separation from Krishna. So this is the depth of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's discussing God's most intimate feelings, emotions, sentiments, attachments. All these things are being discussed here. So what is the nature of the Gopis? Ekeha, Guru Nandana. Once again, everything which is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita is expanded upon. They're one-pointed. They have no other desire than to attain Krishna. So they're even saying to him, Lakshmi is on your chest. They're so learned, so supremely intelligent. They know that yellow or golden tuft of hair, which is situated in Krishna's chest, they know that's Lakshmi Devi, incarnate. And she's appeared in that form, Srivatsa. She eternally resides because she cannot take the form of a gopi, even though she tried. She does meditation in Bayoban, Sriman, on the eastern side of the Jamuna. She does austerity there, tapasya, to attain Krishna as her husband, but still she cannot. So Krishna, out of mercy, he allows her to sit on his chest. So the gopis, they know that that's Lakshmi, but they know that they will not settle for that position. They want to dance with him. They don't want to sit on his chest and watch the dancing. They want to take a form and dance with him, serve him in that way. So they have no other desire, and they will not compromise their desire. This is an important point in Krishna consciousness. You only make advancement when you don't compromise. If you want to get back to Krishna, you can't compromise. Right? If your desire is to get back to Vrindavan, you cannot settle for less. You have to have that kind of bhakti. It is called Tivrena, Bhakti Jogena, back in the second canto. Now, what does Tivrena mean? Tivra.
Intense.
Unless you become intense, and Rupa Goswami says this, as the principal follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rupa Goswami says, Bhakti Yoga must be intense if you want to attain Krishna, if you want to please Guru. If you're not intense, how do you please Guru? How do you please Krishna? If you're not intense, you have to be intense. This is an intense movement. And who is the most intense person in this movement? Yeah, he's sitting on the Vyasa's arm all day. And when you come in front of him, he looks at you and he says, do something for Krishna. Don't just hang around the devotees. Do seva. Just like that one devotee, we told the past time, he was every day Prabhupada would come into the Krishna Bhavan and go for his walk, and then he'd come back in. And he'd sit there near the front gate and he would read Sanskrit verses from the Bhagavatam as Prabhupada walked in. So he did that for 3 days. Prabhupada completely ignored him. And on the fourth day, Prabhupada said, do something. Now, there's rubbish, pick it up. Do something for Krishna. Don't just sit around and talk and do something sentimental. But devotional service means you have to do something. You have to be intense. And Prabhupada pushed the early devotees, his disciples, pushed them to spread Krishna consciousness. How many devotees did he send here to start the preaching in Australia? Yeah, two devotees. Who were they? Bali Madan and Upendra. They came first. Madhuisa Prabhu came later. So two devotees. Imagine your guru says to you, okay, go to Tasmania. Just you two. Go to Tasmania, open a temple. Would you do it? Get on the spirit of Tasmania and get over there. Or what about, the time, we tell the past time many times, Prabhupada had 40 devotees with him traveling through India. So they pull up at the Delhi, they're just passing through on the train, pull up at Delhi, and Prabhupada turns around, he looks at four of them, he says, get off and start a temple. Right? So they all picked up their bags and went and like that, and then Prabhupada waved, and then they, that was it. Start a temple. Can you imagine doing this kind of service? Prabhupada is putting it, it's called intensity. That's Tivrena Bhakti Yoga. Unless you get intense, you don't make advancement in devotional service. It's a fact. ISKCON's quite easy these days, comparatively, compared to what it was like then. But if you don't become intense in devotional service, you don't make advancement in Krishna consciousness. And you certainly won't understand this section of the Bhagavatam unless you're intense in devotional service. You can read this all day and all night, you won't understand any of it. If you're intense, you'll understand. The gopis are intense. They're the most intense devotees. That's why they can understand Krishna. That's why they can relish Krishna's association. That's why they have a taste for associating with Krishna. That's why they're attached to Krishna. That's why they love Krishna. We can't develop any of these higher sentiments unless we become intense in our devotional service. Any points?
Ramananda, Lalita, Vishaka.
Vishaka.
And who was Lalita?
Sarup Damodar. Sarup Damodar. Yeah. Anything else? Therefore, O vanquisher of all distress, please show us mercy. To approach your lotus feet, we abandon our families and homes, and we have no desire other than to serve you. Our hearts are burning with intense desires generated by your beautiful smiling glances. O jewel among men, please take us. Please make us your
maid servants.
Whatever Bandhu Prabhu.
When Sri Krishna was born, they said, Karka predicted that he would manifest all the opulences of the Supreme Lord Narayana. The gopis now appealed to the Lord to fulfill this prediction by being merciful and granting them direct service, just as Lord Narayana awards direct service to his loving devotees. The gopis emphasized that they did not give up their families and homes with the hope of securing a higher pleasure from Krishna. They are simply begging for service, revealing their pure-hearted devotion. The gopis think, if in the course of your pursuing your happiness, we somehow or other become happy by seeing your face, what is the harm in that? Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti comments that, Bhusha Bhushana, O jewel among men. Thakura states that the gopi is meant to say, O jewel of the old males, please decorate our golden bodies with the dark blue gems of your limbs.
Any points there?
They are saying that they are showing their humility, that we don't want pleasure, our pleasure, but we want to serve you, to give you pleasure. And that's why we want to become your pleasure.
Anything else?
Their teaching was that if we stand in front of the deity, we should also pray like this. We should not ask for higher.
Yeah, nice point. Yeah, if you want to understand Krishna, then we simply have to desire to serve Krishna. The gopis' pastimes are difficult to understand. That's why materialistic people cannot understand Krishna's pastimes with the gopis. Because it appears that it's based on selfish desire, but it's not based on selfish desire. It's based on pure selfless desire. So it's difficult to understand. You have to meditate on it very deeply. You have to meditate on the gopis' mood of seva. Because their mood is not one of desiring to enjoy separately from Krishna. Their mood is only to give Krishna pleasure. And then in Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, then Krishna says, indicates them, well, basically you just want to come and enjoy with me because you want to please yourself. And they said, no. I said, we only want to please you. But if we're happy while pleasing you, then what can we do? We can't do anything about it. No. Just like, hands up if you've ever been blissful in Krishna consciousness. Yeah, everyone should be putting their hand up. If you're not, then go and join the church or something else. But if you're in this movement, you should feel blissful. If not all the time, at least the majority of the time. Or at least we've all experienced bliss. So what can we do? We can't do anything about that. That's our constitutional position, to be blissful. Krishna is full of eternality, knowledge, and bliss. So we are also full of eternality, knowledge, and bliss. It's our birthright. That's what we're created for, to enjoy. So in Krishna's association, you'll become happy, you'll become blissful. But you only become truly blissful when you're doing the service for Krishna and Guru's pleasure, not for our pleasure. If you're doing it for your own pleasure, then you won't feel complete bliss. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To understand the Srimad Bhagavatam, you understand it through the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Chaitanya Bhagavat, all of his pastimes. So he was doing the nocturnal kirtan with his associates in Srivasanga. So when he does the nocturnal kirtan in Srivasanga with his associates, each of his pastimes, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, each pastime has its equivalent in Krishna's pastimes. So when he's doing the pastime of the nocturnal kirtan in Srivasanga, which pastime is that representing in Krishna's pastime? Yeah, this. Exact pastime, rather. Any talking out. Right, nothing. right? Whispering nothing. You do that in Canto 9, Canto 10, no. Right? If she talks, she has to go out. I can't concentrate. So that is identical to the Rasa Lila, right? Exactly the same. Consciousness and emotions and devotion and experience, everything that Krishna experiences while dancing with the gopis is experienced by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the nocturnal kirtan in Sri Vasangam. It is identical. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we read, he was dancing, he was chanting, right? But then he stopped the kirtan. He said, I'm not feeling any bliss. He said, why am I not feeling bliss tonight? Why is the nectar of the holy name? We're chanting the holy name, but the bliss is not coming. Is someone unqualified here? Shiva Sangam actually said, well, actually, there's one brahmachari. So they brought him out. He was hiding. They brought out the brahmachari. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, he's not qualified to be here. And Shiva Thakur says, he only eats fruit and drinks milk. He's so austere. Such a qualified, self-controlled brahmachari. Lord Chaitanya said, this is not the process to attain Krishna. You can't attain Krishna by drinking milk and eating fruit only. Tell him to go out. So they sent him out. And then when he went out, he felt very remorseful, very hurt. He'd been rejected by the Lord. And that purified him. That rejection purified him. So then Lord Chaitanya understood that he'd become purified. Lord Chaitanya said, okay, bring him back in. Now he can dance with us. And then Lord Chaitanya felt the ecstasy when the kirtan began. So the point is, if you want to feel ecstasy in Krishna consciousness, hands up if you want to feel ecstatic all the time. Yeah, all of us. Because that's the nature of the soul. The nature of the soul is to be ecstatic, is to experience ananda or bliss in Krishna's service. But you can only do that when you are selfless in your service attitude. Otherwise, you can't be blissful. How can you be completely blissful if you're selfish? If there's some consideration of our own sense gratification, then we cannot fully relish Krishna consciousness. So the gopis are showing us this highest level. So in the discussion, Vishnachakra Thakur, He explains, there's a lot of talk which goes on in between the lines. We just get a few verses in the Bhagavatam, but there's a lot more conversation in between. So then the gopis, they say to Krishna, they say, we want to become your maidservants, not your wives. Just your maidservants. We just want to serve you, right? Without any desire. Not even to be married to you, but just to serve you. That's all we want. That's our only intention. And we'll only be satisfied if you accept us as your maidservants. Now, why do they say that? Because Parakeya Bhav is always supreme or more pleasurable or higher or more satisfying than Swakeya. So they're not even saying to Krishna, we want to marry you, because if they get married, it becomes swakya, and then their pleasure lessens. Snatan Goswami Pad, he says that the love of the gopis is higher than the queens in Dwarka, right? And the ecstasy they feel is superior, and the ecstasy they give Krishna is superior because they are not married. And that parakeya bhav, or that unmarried relationship, that gives Krishna the greatest pleasure. So they say to him, just make us maidservants. Don't marry us. We'll just come here in the night and we'll serve you. And Krishna gives them that benediction. They never get married. Although in other ways, if you read Krishna book, Prabhupada explains that they are married. But any points?
Actually, yeah. Teaching us because we are sent in the world because we wanted to enjoy the Lord Krishna. Yeah. But
how's that going so far?
Going very good.
Enjoying without Krishna?
No.
It's a disaster. Any other points?
Question. When
Lord Chaitanya excludes the brahmachari. Is that equivalent, and how it gets purified by separation, is that equivalent to when the gopis who can't attend the first night?
Yeah. So, anything else? Seeing your face encircled by curling locks of hair, your cheeks beautified by earrings, your lips full of nectar, and your smiling glance, and also seeing your two imposing arms, which take away our fear, and your chest, which is the only source of pleasure for the goddess of fortune, we must become your maid servants. So, long purport. No, not so long. We can read it. Sri Chaitanya Prabhu.
Sri Lakshmana Chakravarti Thakur envisions the gopis' dealings with Krishna as follows. Krishna says, "You want to become my servants, so do I have to buy you some payment, or are you giving yourself freely?" The gopis reply, "Since the beginning of our youthful womanhood, you have been purchasing us with the payment millions and millions of times more than enough. That payment of a gem-like smiling glance, which constitutes a gem, great treasure we have never heard about or seen anywhere else. When you put your golden turban on your head, your maid servants will act as your valet, pulling up the turban bit by bit until it is in just right position. And even while you shake a chastising finger at her, trying hard to prohibit her, she will put her hand beneath your turban and take the opportunity to glance at your face. Thus we, your maid servants, will relish with your eyes your abundant sweetness." Krishna says, "Your husbands will not tolerate this behavior of ours. They will complain bitterly to King Kamsa, thus producing a fearful situation for me and for you as well." The gopis say, "But Krishna, your two mighty arms make us fearless, just as they did when you held up Govardhan Hill to protect us from the pride of Mahendra. Those arms will certainly kill that beast Kamsa. But being a religious person, I cannot make others' wives my maid servants. O general, O dear crest drill of religious personalities, you may say that you refuse to make the kafir wives your maid servants, but by force you have already taken Lakshmi, the wife of Narayan, from Vaikuntha and are carrying her around on your chest. Out of shame, she has assumed the form of golden lion on your chest. She takes her only pleasure there. Besides, within all the 14 worlds, and even above these worlds, in Vaikuntha Loka, beyond this universe, you never reject any beautiful woman, no matter who she is or whom she belongs to. We know this quite well."
So these topics are very advanced. So the gopis have a sense of relationship with Krishna, which is called mamata. The Bhagavatam describes aham mameti, I and mine. What keeps us in this material world? This consciousness of I and mine. Because what do we think I am? Then we say I am man, or I am woman, or I am a doctor, or I am a lawyer, and I am whatever I am. So I. That's what keeps us in the material world. It's called false ego, ahamka. And mamata, or aham mameti. This is mine. Right? This is my house, my clothes, my car, my children, my country, all these things. That's what keeps us in the material world. Now, how do you get out of the material world? You just reverse it back to what it originally was. This is perverted. So you think, I am Krishna's servant. And when you become advanced, you think, I will serve Krishna as a gopi or a cowherd boy or a parent, like that, according to your swabhav. When you become advanced, you think, I am Krishna's maidservant. I am Krishna's sukha. I am Krishna's parent. Like that. You think like that. That's your abhiman. That's your consciousness. So when you're advanced, that's how you think. and Mameti, Mamata. Krishna belongs to me. At the moment, we think, oh, so many things belong to me. But when the gopis, this is very advanced consciousness. They think Krishna belongs to me. He is mine. So when Krishna says, go, they said, no, we're staying here. You belong to us, and we are staying here. Right? We're not going anywhere. We're not moving a foot. Because you belong to us. So it's called Mamata consciousness. So the gopis are showing us the highest level of love of Godhead. It is so powerful that it controls Krishna. The way they're speaking in this purport, and if you go to the Vishnachakraya Thakur's Sarita Darshini commentary, a lot more is said than what's just written here. But basically, the basic premise is that they're dealing with Krishna. What does the word Krishna mean? All attractive. Right? The nature of Krishna is that he captivates everyone. Why are we all here? Why do you come to the temple? Why have you dedicated your life to Krishna? Why do you practice Krishna consciousness? Why do you do it?
He attracts us.
Because he's attractive. Right? And when you become advanced, you can't give him up. And when you become very advanced, he drives you mad. You can't think about anything except him. You go mad. That's all you can think about. It's Krishna. You become brainwashed. All the gopis are completely brainwashed. They can't think of anything but Krishna and Krishna. Even they say later in the Bhagavatam, when we go a bit further, they say, we want to forget him. Our lives would be a lot better if we could forget him. You know? What's our goal? Right? Our goal is always remember him, never forget him. The gopis say, our goal is we want to forget him. We can't help ourselves. All we can do is think of him. So, it says in the commentary, they're describing his ornaments and the conversation which is there. They're decorating him and they're moving his turban just the way they want it. You know, when you have kids, you know, you dress your kid, right? And then your kid has to sit there and the kid's trying to move around. You're trying to like, no, it's got to be like this. Right? And when it becomes intimate between husband and wife, right, then the wife will come to the husband, you know, and she starts decorating. You know, I hate that. You know, when your wife comes, she starts like adjusting everything, and it's like, you know, get away, I don't like it. But Krishna, the gopis, they do the same thing to him, but he relishes that, right? And they move everything. You know, they start moving his turban and make it just right. Right? So that, the gopis describe in that conversation, he is so beautiful, and his ornaments are incredibly beautiful. Right? All of Krishna's ornaments are the most beautiful ornaments, the most beautiful jewels. They belong to Krishna. His earrings are exquisite. It says of all of his jewelry, his earrings are the most attractive out of everything. What are his earrings like?
Shark.
Makara. Makara means like they're long. So sharks are long. So it's like a dolphin or a shark. Has the nose of a elephant, you know. You see on his flute also, at the end of the flute's a makara. So he's got like the elephant, it's connected to like the fish body. Makara means like a sea monster. This is what God's earrings are like. He wears a sea monster on his ears. He's a very cool person, Krishna. Very attractive guy. Imagine if one of these guys walked in with the, like, you know, the long. So his earrings are long. They're like that. They're like long earrings. Imagine if you walked in like this. That's the way he dresses all the time. If one of us walked in like that, we'd think, oh, you know, you must be doing a play. You wouldn't wear that normally. You must be doing a drama. It says that Krishna looks like he's in a drama all the time. The way he dresses. He wears long earrings like this all the time, right? And they swear around, and they're so beautiful. So the gopis say, he is so beautiful, he makes the earrings attractive, the shape of his form so attractive that they perfectly complement each other. But actually, he's more exquisite even than his earrings. Even if you take the earrings off, he's still unlimitedly beautiful. But you put them on, he makes the earrings look good. So we can't even imagine how exquisite he is, how beautiful he is. So that's why they're so attached to him. They cannot renounce him. So when they get there, they can't leave him. How can you leave someone who's so beautiful, who has unlimited good qualities? Nama, Rupa, Guna, Lila. Everything he does is perfect. Everything he does is all attractive. It is, what was that chapter we went through? Chapter maybe 25, was it? Wonderful Krishna. The whole chapter is called Wonderful Krishna. He's so wonderful. The gopis can't leave him. They've got there, and now he's there. And he says, go away. They say, well, what do we do? We can't. You're so attractive. You're so beautiful. We just have to stay here. So then it describes that, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it describes that when the gopis see Krishna, they become more beautiful. Because they see him and he's so beautiful. They just beam with love. And when he sees them more beautiful than before, he becomes more attractive. And then when he's more attractive, they become more beautiful, and then he becomes more attractive. And it says the competition goes on eternally, and no one ever wins the competition. It's just an unlimited competition. So this is the pastime between Krishna and the gopis. So, any points?
I have seen a picture when Krishna is dressing Radharani. Yeah.
Decorating her hair?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is described, yeah. In the last verse of this chapter, it describes that. Any other point?
Actually, that was it. That custom in India, long time ago, all the kings, they used to decorate themselves with the jewelry. Yeah. And when the Britishers came, they just followed him.
Yeah, everything was better in the old days. I feel like doing it, but if I do it, everyone will say, Kesha is strange. And yeah, and then they'll say, don't go to his class because he dresses, he wears earrings and a turban and, colourful dhoti. Actually, I feel like doing it. But if I do it, then everyone will say,
socially restricted.
Yeah, we're socially restricted. That's the way. I have to dress like a brahmana. Shave your head and dress like that. But actually, it's more natural to dress, grow your hair very beautifully. That's why Krishna has long hair. He doesn't shave his hair. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu shaves, the devotees go mad. They go mad. There's a whole scene, there's a whole leela, a whole pastime, just when he shaves his hair. The devotees cannot handle it. It breaks their hearts. We can't even understand this. But, if someone has a haircut and they come to class, next week they come to class and they've had a haircut, we don't all go, oh my God. Would have a Bandhupur we cut his hair. Oh my God. It doesn't do anything to us. But when Krishna does it, when Lord Chaitanya cuts his hair, everyone goes mad. That's how attractive he is. He's so beautiful.
So, they were crying.
What's that?
They were crying.
Yeah, rivers of tears.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Okay.
In Jula also, when we decorate the Jula.
Julan?
Julan, yeah.
Julan Yatra?
Yeah. If we, as soon as the deity arrives, Jula becomes more beautiful. And as soon as the deities go, Jula becomes empty. It looks like nothing. Without deities, Jula is nothing. We feel like just ordinary swing one. And they become, and they see,
and
they beautify them.
It says that Lord Chaitanya left the world. Raghunath Das Goswami went to Vrindavan to kill himself because he could not live without Lord Chaitanya. So he went to Vrindavan to kill, to commit suicide. So he was going to climb on top of Govardhan Hill and jump off to kill himself. And then Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, they said, no, you're not allowed to do this, because Sanatana Goswami was also going to kill himself. Lord Chaitanya said, no, your body belongs to me. So then they convinced him to live. So then, when Rupa left and Sanatana left, it was just Raghunath Das left, there was no one left. Lord Chaitanya had gone, Nityananda Prabhu had gone, Panchatattva had gone, six Goswamis had gone. There was only Raghunath Das Goswami left, practically. So then, at that time, he said that, because he lived in Vrindavan, at Radhakund, he said, Radhakund looks like the mouth of a tiger. Normally, Radhakund is the most worshipable place, and now Radhakund is everything to us, actually. But he said, Radhakund just looks like a mouth of a tiger. Right? Just the worst thing I could look at. Because Lord Chaitanya's not here. So even with everything else, without Lord Chaitanya and his devotees, even Radhakund means nothing to me. And he said, Govardhan Hill just looks like a python. A snake. Long snake. Like that. So, I mean, this is how advanced these devotees are. This is how they see things. Maybe just close the door for them. Is it closed, is it?
No, it's not.
It's not closed. Yeah, just say, Prabhu, just say, could please go to the courtyard, if that's okay. Okay. Dear Krishna, what woman in all the three worlds wouldn't deviate from religious behavior when bewildered by the sweet, drawn-out melody of your flute? Your beauty makes all three worlds auspicious. Indeed, even the cows, birds, trees, and deer manifest the ecstatic symptoms of bodily hair standing on end when they see your beautiful form. So the gopis describe in the commentary, they say that his form is bewitching. Do you know this word, bewitching? What does this mean, bewitching?
Mesmerizing,
yeah. It means when someone casts a spell on you. Yeah, you know, like in India, they have, what do you, in the West, we say a witch. What do you say over there?
Black magic.
Tantric, yeah. Like a kechari or something. Like some witch casts a spell on you, and then your mind gets controlled, right? And then you become like a mad person. You have a spell on you, and it's like, oh. So the gopis become like that. It says when people look at them, they look like mad people. They're just like, because they're just thinking about Krishna. So externally, everything appears to stop. So it says His beauty is so bewildering. When they see him, they're bewildered. Even when he's not there, they're seeing him all the time. They're just bewildered. And we'll see in the pastime, in this chapter and also the next chapter, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that when the gopis are standing there, they look like paintings, figures in a painting. And you look at a painting and everyone's just standing. So the gopis are also like that. They just become stunned in their memory of Krishna. So he is so beautiful, he bewitches or bewilders. It completely distorts the mind or controls the mind. That is the potency of Krishna's beauty. And so much so that it says he forcibly destroys their chastity. What is the most important quality for a woman? It's chastity, right? If a woman loses chastity, she's ruined. Right? So it's the most important quality, right? And he's destroyed it. Right? He's taken all the women and he said, come, Krishna. The word Krishna comes from the word Krishna. Krishna means very forceful. So he just like grabbed them with his flute and called out to them. He said, come now. And they all come. Right? And now he says, now what are you doing here? And then they say, you've destroyed our chastity. Now we can't go back. You've ruined our lives, everything. But we're happy about that because now we're with you. So it means even if everyone else criticizes, we don't care because we're with you. And nothing else matters. So even the most, and these are the most chaste girls, the most chaste devotees and people in creation, right? They're the most chaste, but they're happy to give up their chastity for Krishna. That's how powerful it is. So overwhelming. They're so blissful in his association. Okay, we've lost our reputation. It doesn't matter because we're with you. We'll just live out in the forest and we'll just stay with you. We don't need the village. We'll just stay in the forest. That's how powerful Krishna is.
There's a saying that you know, Lord Krishna used to call Meera by his flute, and then people used to blame her. You know, so what could she do?
Clearly you have taken birth in this world to relieve the fear and distress of the people of Braj. Just as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Primeval Lord, protects the domain of the demigods, therefore, a friend of the distressed, kindly place your lotus hand on your maidservant's heads, on your maidservant's heads and burning breasts. So they're asking him, put your hand on our breast. So this is calm. This is lust. Right? Just like if we go out in the courtyard and we hear two devotees speaking and they're speaking about this, right? And we'll think, oh, this is the worst conversation. We don't want to hear about this. But then right here in the Bhagavatam, we're hearing about the purest love between Krishna and the gopis. Materially, it's the most... Abominable, yeah, the most contaminated thing. But spiritually, it's the most pure thing. Why? Because the gopis are doing it for Krishna's pleasure. It is not for their pleasure, it's for Krishna's pleasure. They think, when they're dressing themselves, they think, I'm dressing myself for Krishna's pleasure. Just like, you know, say we have a festival at the temple, like we have Gaur Panim, right? So when it's Gaur Panim, or any festival, it's auspicious to dress nicely, right? Especially for the women. You know, silk saris, and you put on all jewelry, and you put on Mangala Sutra, right? You dress nicely, you do your hair nicely, right? But if you become a little advanced in Krishna consciousness, in your heart you think, I'm doing this for Krishna, right? I'm not doing it for anyone else, not my husband, right? Not my friends, no one. I'm just doing it for Krishna. That's Krishna consciousness. So the gopis, when they're dressing themselves, that's how they're thinking. They think, I'm doing this for Krishna. It's not for me. I'm doing it for him because it will give him pleasure. Even it describes that when Srimati Radharani, in the morning, all of her maidservants dress her. They all come and they dress her very... They bathe her and they massage her with oil. And then they bring a big mirror in front of her so she can see herself. And you know what she says and what she thinks when she looks at the mirror? She looks in the mirror and she sees herself. So who is Radharani? She's the most beautiful girl, right? In creation. There is no one more beautiful. When she sees herself, she looks at herself and all her friends are there. She says, there is no one more beautiful. But if we say that, that means we're just saying that for our own pleasure. But she's not saying it for her own pleasure. She's saying, there is no one more beautiful. So therefore, I will offer myself to Krishna. I will offer this form, which is the most beautiful form, for Krishna's pleasure. He can do whatever he wants. I am his main servant. So that's how she thinks. Like that. And when she becomes angry, we'll see in the next couple of chapters, she becomes angry. Even in this chapter, she gets angry. So when she becomes angry, She's not angry for herself. She's angry for Krishna. Right? Because she thinks, why is Krishna with those girls? Why does he take the second class? Why does he not come to first class? That's how she thinks. That's why she's angry. Imagine how pure you have to be to think like this. This is exalted consciousness. That's why she's angry. She thinks, you know, normally she brings everyone to Krishna and she, you know, brings everyone, oh, you come and serve Krishna. She's got that mood. And in the pastimes you hear, she brings all the other devotees. But then she gets to a point sometimes where she just thinks, who are all these people anyway? Right? Right? He should just be with me. And actually, Jiva Goswami says she is so qualified, he doesn't need anyone else. So then the question arises, and I asked this question one time to Gopi Purana Dana Prabhu. You know him?
Yeah.
He passed away. If you read the Bhagavatam, he's the one who finished the Bhagavatam when Prabhupada left. Fridananda Maharaj, Dravida Prabhu, and Gopi Paranandana Prabhu. Right, I was at Govardhan, he was giving class, and it was very deep in my heart. I wanted to know the answer to this question. So I said, Prabhu, why do I exist? Krishna's already got Radharani, so why am I here? I'm here, I'm obviously here. You can all see me, I'm here. And I'm alive, so I'm here. So why do I exist? I was really thinking very deeply. I was thinking, what's the point? Yeah, he's got Radharani and I'm just here. And he says, because everyone has a particle of Krishna's qualities in them. And there's something that only you can give to Krishna, no one else. So that's why we exist. We're meant to assist and serve. But Radharani has all those particles. So actually, we don't need to exist. Technically, we don't need to exist. You know? Do you know why we exist? Because she gives Krishna pleasure, and no one else needs to exist. But then, while she's serving Krishna, she thinks, wouldn't it be wonderful if I could share him with so many others? So then we all manifest. So it's only because of her that we even exist. Her desire. Okay, get a point? Dhruv, you asked her.
We were talking about gopis dressing very exquisitely and perfectly.
Yeah.
In one pastime, gopis are, when they are called by Krishna, they forget, they put their upper garment on the lower body, you know. They're told to only put one earring and makeup is all messed up.
Yeah.
So you can comment on both sides.
That will be in this section. So we'll discuss that, because that will come up as part of the... Okay, I'm going to finish the chapter, so we'll read through verses. The problem with this is that, you know, you could speak on it forever. Which verse are we on? 42?
Yeah.
Shukadeva Goswami said, smiling upon hearing these despondent words from the gopis, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Master of all master of mystic yoga, mercifully enjoyed with them, although he is self-satisfied. Mm. 42, 43, 44, 45, 47, 48. It's too much to say. I don't know if we can do it. Is it okay? No, I'm not gonna rush.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's six verses left. There's quite a bit. So yeah, I'm not gonna rush. I'm slowing it down. But also, I want to keep some momentum. Otherwise, seriously, we could just do Rasa Lila this year, and then we won't go. You know, and I think that will. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, no, I feel like that also. I don't want to go fast, but we also have to, you know. All right, let's just, don't worry about the course, we'll just... Okay. Forget about the course. No, we can't actually, because it's not, it's very difficult actually. And this shows, this point shows how attractive Krishna is. And Prabhupada said, and Bhaktisanta Saraswati Thakur said this, because you remember the pastime? Bhaktisanta Saraswati Thakur goes to Radha Kund, and he speaks on the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam for 3 months. Because when he gets to Radha Kund, all the Babaji think, oh, he has come, now we can hear Rasa Leela. And he wouldn't speak on Rasa Leela. He only spoke on the first verse, but he spoke for 3 months on one verse. And everyone said, how can you speak for 3 months on one verse? He said, we could speak forever on this verse. He said, Krishna is unlimited. Unlimitedly attractive. So anyway, it must be Krishna who's slowing it down. Because I'm trying to speed it up and he's pushing it. So it must be his desire. So no one minds. No. I also feel like that. I wanted to slow, but I'm always conscious that we have to finish something. So okay, where did we get to? Next week, 42. Okay, so you guys have to remind me, 42. Just remind me next week, 42. Srila Prabhupada ki. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Sri Rasa Leela ki. Rasa Panchajaya ki. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki.